to the Escape Podcast for Star Wars The Old Republic. This episode, you'll hear news about Patch 2.5. We'll review what to do now that you've leveled another alt to 55 during Double XP weekend, and maybe you'll learn why a shorter Kessel run actually makes sense. As usual, we have a shiny new astromech standing by to record this, hop in an escape pod, and take a hyper route through the galaxy to broadcast this to you. EPC 15, are you all set? Yeah, sure. You can use the Kessel run to get it out there faster. Okay, have fun storming the Kessel. Hi, Seema. How's it going?
It's going pretty good. I mean, are we really on our 15th astromech? That's kind of amazing.
Yes, it is. And wonderful in so many ways.
Yeah. In spite of the, we're rather astromech wasteful.
Yeah, they keep making them for us, though. So, you know, we'll keep tossing
as long
them
as they keep making them. Supply.
Someone suggested the other day that we use protocol droids, since nobody likes those anyway. shove those on an airlock. And so we'll consider that. I think that's fine.
I don't know.
So sorry, how's it going?
I like our system.
I do too.
All right. So how did I, back to what I was trying to, what did I do last week? Well, I took advantage of the double XP weekend, which is probably why I can't speak now. I might have overdone it a little bit this weekend playing SWTOR. I worked on my gunslinger, which, believe it or not, was my first ever SWTOR character back on, some other server. But it got merged onto, she got merged onto Jedi Covenant over time. And I've been using her to do crafting, but she was sitting around at level 35 because I had never leveled her up to 50. So anyway, I was playing with her, and I had a lot of fun, actually. I don't remember the gunslinger playstyle with much fondness, but I think what I remember is more the sort of fog of not understanding the game in general, because I did have a lot of fun with her. I did take a break from the constant questing, though, to do ops on Sunday night. And we did the weeklies in both Dread Fortress and Dread Palace. We might have finished Dread Palace, except for somebody was late due to weather and flights getting canceled. And I'm not going to say who it was, but, somebody.
It wasn't me. Let's just say that, because everyone always wants to blame Max anyway, just to be clear.
It was just a sketchy week in general with ops because of holiday conflicts. And I'm glad everybody's back in town and whatnot. During this time, though, I did finish the Neal Stephenson book I was reading, Snow Crash. Really enjoyed that. And I have started Red Shirts by John Scalzi, which is very entertaining so far. It's sort of a play on the concept of, well, everyone knows what the red shirt concept is. So these are like self-aware ensigns that they know if they go on an away team that they might be the person that dies. So they're trying to avoid away teams and solve the bigger problem. It's very good so far. I really recommend it. After that, I'm probably going to read The Diamond Age, which will be my next Neal Stephenson book. I get a recommendation from @Fanord3125 on Twitter saying that takes place sort of like 50 years later from the Snow Crash universe, and that I might even recognize one character. So I'm looking forward to that. And we made our foray, our first foray on Ops Night into using Plug DJ instead of Turntable, because Turntable is going away. So our initial impressions are it's taking a little to get used to because it's a little bit different, but I think it'll work for us. We had a lot of fun. Now we're all rebuilding our queue. Oh, and I found out today how to, from Pell-El, I found out how to export my Turntable queues into Plug DJ. So that's good. Save a lot of clicking. So that's pretty much my week. How about you, Max?
So yeah, on the Plug DJ, http://plug.dj. That's an amazing domain name. I think it probably can serve as a replacement to Turntable. I keep hearing more and more how more music is being streamed and played over YouTube than anywhere else. Basically, what Plug DJ is a queue system and a shared system on top of YouTube. So that's fine, but you're also then you got to be careful of what you're getting. And it seems like a relatively simple concept. It's going to stream a playlist and share a playlist and sync everybody up on YouTube. Careful when you put something in your queue that it isn't a YouTube video to a parody or something else weird, or a 5-hour concert that starts with the song that you asked for. Something yes, like that.
Or it can be a whole album, or who knows, whatever somebody. So yeah, you do have to kind of be careful with that.
Yeah, so I'm not as pleased with it as the cleanness and simpleness of Turntable, but I think it can work, and we'll try it out. And I think there's a couple other options on that are out there too. Maybe we'll review them all and we'll see what we come up with. But yes, so we did that. We did our ops. I did many levels of double XP on my Sork, and I did the rotation that we always have been talking about. I did PvP every day. I did space missions every day, and I did planets. And I had to keep just skipping planets. I'd go through the class stories, and I had to skip all of Tatooine. I had to skip all of Alderaan. I wanted to spend time on, what did I even get to? Quesh or something like that. And I was, oh, Terrace. So I like Rakkles. I know everybody hates Terrace. I like Rakkles. They're awesome. I was thinking, okay, well, here's finally a planet that I'll get to go do it. Nope, got to skip that too. So I didn't get to actually start doing planet quests until I got up to Hoth. But that's okay. Yeah, it went quick.
Right. Well, on double XP week, and especially with boosts, if you're going to throw in your PvP and your space missions, that's what happens.
Absolutely. So not complaining.
I did only class quest, and I didn't have, I mean, a couple places I did some other quests just because I felt like it, but I don't think I really had to.
True. I may not even have had to on Hoth, and I didn't get to 50. So I'm still on Hoth with my Sork, but maybe I didn't even need to do that much, but yeah, so that was fun. Then the only other thing that I was going to mention, two things I was going to mention. One is I was looking for something to take on the road on Thanksgiving because we had to drive around. We had to go to two dinners with the family. That's always fun. So I pulled up. I didn't realize it until this week, but Tiny Death Star is on Windows Phone. So I'm a Windows Phone user from way back. Tiny Death Star. I figured I had to mention it on the show because it's not an MMO. There's nobody to see like the number of levels that I'm getting. There's no, I either have to tell everybody or I just need to stop playing because I could be at like a billion and nobody would even know. And I think I'm doing really good unless I get to like tell somebody. So here it is. In 4 days or whatever, I've got 25 floors on my tiny Death Star and all my establishments. I think all except two are 3 stars with 2 or 3 9s on the skills, my little guys, and I am rocking it. So there.
Well, I didn't understand any of that, but it sounds awesome. I bet you are the best.
I'm winning.
You're the best Tiny Death Star player.
I am winning. But now that I sort of got this far and realized I know all the mechanics and no one will ever see what I ever do, I think I'm probably done.
Maybe there will someday there will be a Tiny Death Star leaderboard.
That would be great. I would so lead the leaderboard. Anyway, so that's what I've been doing, but maybe we can talk about a little bit of news. I did bring I was figuring Kemval could join us here for a second and introduce the news. Kem, do you want to introduce the news?
Jinasiwe ja alaize nam nadize. Ustalpine I see jai in alam is frumadine habans.
Yes, yeah, okay, yeah, thank you, Kem. That was nice introduction. And I'll kill you later too. good to know. Thank you for that. So news this week. Biggest news, of course, is patch 2.5 is coming out tomorrow. We've talked about this for weeks now, that the stuff that's been on the PTS, but there were a couple extra twists in the patch notes, so we figured we'd call a couple of those out. So we do know that Galactic Starfighter is coming out. We talked about it the last 2 weeks on episodes 13 and 14, if you want to go back to those. And I bet we're going to talk about it next week on sort of first impressions. We're going to be doing some stuff with the guild this week, so we'll talk about it more. Also coming out are all the class updates that we've been talking about. They're not huge, but there are some significant class updates coming out, so that's interesting. I think we mentioned this, but it bears repeating. One interesting twist that I saw, we talked about the raid markers. They are added in as a legacy unlock at legacy level 20 or for 300 cartel coins, where you can get a reusable, unlimited reusable version of the raid markers, which I think are going to be interesting. So that allows you to put a mark out on the floor somewhere 30 yards from you while you're sort of lining up your group in, say, in front of a boss without having to walk up to the boss and aggro the boss. So that the tank or the raid leader can say, you know, you stand here and put a mark on the floor, and you stand over here and put a mark on the floor.
I can say to Brew, and put your purple healing thing down right here, not over here.
Yeah, not making me stand where I have no line of sight to anybody. Brew's actually pretty good about it, but yeah exactly. Though you can say this is where it'd be most useful for me. So those would be fun. And then the only other thing I wanted to call out before I turn it over to you for some of the notes is the Rat Ghouls are coming back. The rep is in. The name of the rep organization is the Highland Organization for Rat Ghoul Neutralization, which spells Thorn. And the comment behind that is, why is it called the Highland Organization for Rat Ghoul Neutralization? Because somebody wanted it to spell Thorn.
They That's really the only wanted reason. It.
That's one of those where you come up with the acronym
first. I am
curious, though,
now to find out what the Highland Organization actually is.
The only other note I saw to that is a division of GSI, which I hate GSI, but that's just me. I don't
well,
do
see,
GSI
also,
dailies.
They did some rebalancing to Xenoanalyst 2, who's the operations boss that comes with the Gree event. I guess they made it a little bit easier to tank in story mode. I didn't know it was difficult to tank in story mode because we haven't really done him since he became level 55. So that's good to know. He's been rebalanced. The holographic creature adds have had their damage and health adjusted in both modes. So I'm thinking that might mean they've been lowered in story mode and maybe they've been raised in hard mode, or maybe they've been lowered in both modes. Who knows? But we'll find out. An interesting thing too is they've added some items that you can buy from your repair astromech vendor if you have that in your ship. That's the little astromech that will sell you the sensor units for your ship droid. Four new items that allow you to make modifications to your operations training dummy if you have one of those on your ship. So you can change the amount of health it has. You can tell it to stop regening health. And you can also set it to reduce its armor by 20%. So we're kind of theorizing that is to make it easier to parse and get accurate read on what you're doing DPS-wise on a training dummy. So that sounds interesting. Also, I think they're going to be just pretty details, but one is capital ships from the Republic and Imperial fleets have arrived in the skies of Coruscant and Drimon Kaz to provide logistical support for galactic starfighter pilots. So I'm thinking we'll see new ships in the sky, but that might be it on that. And then starfighter hangar consoles are going to turn up in Coruscant and Drimon Kaz, but don't really know what those consoles will be because we don't need them for missions and we don't need them for accessing our own hangar. So
yeah,
who knows?
I don't know what that is either. So the Galactic Starfighter hangar is the little button off your mini map that brings up the hangar UI. I don't know what that's supposed to be. So I'll be interested to see what that looks like tomorrow. I don't know. I thought that was an interesting note.
I think what I'm going to do first thing tomorrow is go buy raid markers. I'm excited about that for some reason.
And just start spreading them all over the fleet.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're pretty short. So, but they have no cooldown. You can just keep popping them as far as I know. I don't know if everyone can see them or not. We'll have to see. Those will be fun to play with. Couple other quick news items. I wanted to call out their continuing series of dev blog posts. They're mostly on Galactic Starfighter right now, but I've been getting into them lately. They've got a new one out there that talks about level design for the Galactic Starfighter maps that they've created, including a couple screenshots of their dev tools in action and a note about how the one designer drew circles in space to the maximum range of the gunships so that they could determine sort of where gunships could sit in relation to a battle. It was a really cool little post. They did a couple others on crew members and a nice breakdown of free-to-play versus subscription model and how there's no pay-to-win in Galactic Starfighter. I recommend checking those out. I've been more and more pleased more that I see of them doing that. I hope they keep it up.
I do too. I'm all for communication and the blog post. I think they've really been using that blog space to good advantage. So I like it too. Also this week, I just want to touch on some guild news / events that are going on. Wednesday night this week, when we usually do our 16-man battle team royale with cheese, we're going to convert our ops night of that this week into a Galactic Starfighter basic training night. So we'll have a couple people on hand that are experts like Max on Galactic Starfighter that can hold the hands of people like, you know, me that don't know anything about it and fear it. So we'll just go buzzing around in space and shoot things. Hopefully I get to shoot Max, but I'm told I probably won't get to. Also, fellow guildies, don't forget on Tuesday night we have a group that does hard modes. Friday night we have the low-level flashpoint group. And our sup ops team has been filling their ranks pretty nicely, especially it's going to help with the people that have leveled up recently through the double XP. But I think maybe they're still in need of a healer. Anyway, if you're interested, be sure to check out with Arvachette.
That's good AIE Guild news. Check us out on Jedi Covenant if you want to jump in on any of that. But now we will get into our segment for this week. I think, hey, Andronikos. Hey, Andronikos. Do you have that Datacron with the segment notes for this week?
Your artifact. I don't have it, and I'm glad. I floated 10 days in a disabled escape pod on account of that hunk of rock.
Yeah, sorry about that, buddy.
That must have been before the Astromex.
That was before we started using Astromex. Oh, all right. Here, I got it here. I found it anyway. So, what are we talking about? We are talking about now that you've got double XP, you leveled up either a new 55 or another 55. At 55 now, what are the best steps for getting geared out and getting ready to do ops with your new 55? How do you get gear quickly? And I think Seema titled this, How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love the Grind. There's a little bit of grinding involved, but what we'll cover in general is we'll talk about the comms and the different types of comms and levels of comms, because that's going to get to the gear levels that you need. We'll touch on legacy smuggling, which we've mentioned in the past. We'll talk about dailies for comms and credits. And all of those will lead up into being able to do hard mode flashpoints, which will get you what you need as well. And finally, we'll touch on and wrap up with being able to fill in some of the gaps with things like Datacrons, augments, and stims. So Seema, you want to kick it off with comms?
Yes. So there's many different types of comms that you can get. So we'll just start off by saying that planetary comms and classic comms are useful while leveling or for getting level 50 gear, but they're not that useful at level 55. If you have bought with your classic comms, if you happen to have bought the Dreadguard gear, that's good enough to possibly let you start right off in hard modes. But if you haven't bought the classic, if you haven't spent your classic comms and you're already 55, no point in doing it now. However, the comms that are useful at 55 that you will be probably looking at collecting are basic comms, elite comms, and ultimate comms. Basic comms you earn from quests and dailies and weeklies on Mekeb, dailies and weeklies in Section X, CZ-198, and Oricon. This is basic gear will give you the level 162 gear, which is the black market gear that you can buy from vendors. So that is a good starting level of gear. And also basic comms are very easy to come by, so you'll accumulate them quickly. In fact, you get a number of them just by leveling up through Oricon. So even if you hit 55 and you haven't finished the Oricon planet quest yet, it's worth it to go back and finish it because of the basic comms. Also an important thing to get with basic comms is your first relic. I mean, you can for only 150 basic comms, you can get a really nice Arcanian relic. So that is a good use of basic comms. Okay, elite comms, which are earned in hard mode flashpoints. You also get them for some ops. and you get them for the weekly ops quest as well, as well as the weeklies on McKeb, CZ-198, and Oricon. Those are really your main focus, because with Elite Comms, you can buy the Verpine gear, which is your 168 rated gear, which is a little bit higher than the black market gear. Then the last type of comm that we're going to touch on is the Ultimate Comms. Those really are going to be earned in ops. You do get a few from doing the weekly hard mode quest, that quest where you have to do 3 hard modes in a week. That'll give you some ultimate comms. But if you're newly 55 and you don't have any other resources, you're not an alt or whatever, you'll be concentrating at first on basic comms and elite comms till you get your gear up to the point where you can go on ops runs where you'll get the ultimate comms.
One other thing with the basic comms is you can collect up, I forgot exactly how much it is, 150, but the McKeb planet, the McKeb space station vendors, there are vendors up there where you can buy a 162 rated main hand weapon that you're going to want to potentially get. The other thing you can do to upgrade your weapon is just go on the market if you've got the credits and buy a rank 31 barrel and use that, which is actually elite comm level barrel, which will up your main damage of your main hand weapon, especially if you're a damage dealer. It's what you're going to want to do.
I mean, one rule of thumb is if you can buy it with comms, it's not going to have a set bonus. If you already have your set bonuses, you'll find that you'll maybe want to buy gear that has the right mod and enhancement for you, and then swap mods and enhancements in and out to keep your armorings in place. And speaking of swapping gears, like Max said earlier, we have talked about this before, but you can take, if your new 55 is an alt and you have another character with superfluous elite comms, then you can buy gear with that character. The gear is going to be not tradable, it's bind on pickup. However, you can take the mods and armorings out of it, put it into legacy pieces, mail the legacy piece to your alt, and then the alt can either just wear the legacy gear, or it can take the mods and out and put it in their own gear. And then what I do, since I have a lot of ops, is I make sure all my legacy gear is always in the same place when I'm done shipping it back and forth, so I never wear the legacy gear. I prefer to gear up my characters in some kind of adaptive outfit that for some reason I love or whatever, and I like the look of, and then I just put the mods and enhancements and armorings in it from all these different sources.
I do the same thing. I get a gear set that I like the look of. I create my gear set when I get to level 50, or even sooner if I can start wearing it sooner. And then I just keep switching out the armoring mod and enhancements and all the pieces as I go up. One of the other things we'll talk about in just a second is augments. That also gives you the opportunity to augment that set once and not have to do that again. So you touched on it when you start to get to doing dailies, but the one thing I wanted to bring up and what I certainly focus on, and I did this recently with my Marauder when I hit 55, was get to Oricon as quick as you can. When you do the planet quests on Oricon, you can't do them until you're 55, but when you do that planet line on Oricon the first time, not only will you get a whole bunch of basic comms for doing the planet quests, but you will get 6 pieces of level 66 mod gear, which is just under the basic comm gear, but it's pretty good. It's plenty good to start hard modes with. So right, that will give you 6 pieces of nice artifact quality gear, level 55 artifact quality gear. And you'll get a whole mess of comms if you do that planet, do all the story missions on the planet, which then also turn into dailies and a weekly. So if you do all of that, you'll get a whole bunch of comms. It is a challenge, though, especially for a fresh 55. Oricon is a challenge. I would recommend, especially for the heroic on there, group up with someone, know what you're doing, group up with a couple people. You'll get through it more quickly, and you'll get that heroic done as well. Keep an eye out when you start doing the daily versions, not the first time through on the planet version, but when you do the daily versions, there's a bonus associated with 4 of those dailies that gets you an extra 2 comms or 3 comms each for each of those bonuses. So keep an eye out for those. You'll get a whole bunch of bonuses and stuff off of Oricon to kick it off.
Plus, another advantage of doing those bonus quests is every once in a while when you skip them and don't do them, it's just so freeing not to do them.
I like Oricon. I know you like some of the other dailies better, but I don't think I've done any dailies except Oricon. I do CZ198 every once in a while now too.
No,
but
I
do
like
not
Oricon.
Do McKeb
do
or
like
GSI.
Oricon.
No, you hate Oricon.
It's kind of fun though to just rush, you know, just run through and ignore all the bonus quests from time to time. But yes, they're a good source for the basic comms. And speaking of dailies, yeah, I do enjoy dailies from time to time, and I've done all the dailies in different arrangements and different styles and different orders. The dailies I'm referring to now are Ilum, Section X, Black Hole, McKeb, GSI, CZ198, and Oricon. What I would say though is, even though these are a fantastic source of credits and basic comms, and if you do the weekly versions of some of those, you also get elite comms, I would never recommend to anyone that they do all the dailies on one day. I would say do the dailies that you like and just stick with those, because you're going to need credits. So if you don't feel like doing the dailies that give you the most basic comms, you're still going to need credits, because when we outline for you what it's going to cost to put augments in all your gear, you're going to need the credits. So just do whatever, do the dailies that you like, do them when you like it, because as long as you hit it, you know, when you feel like it, and don't just, you know, and never do it, you're going to accumulate the gear. The gear is going to come. You're going to run some hard modes. You're going to run some ops. It's all going to happen. So don't approach it like a job. That's my advice about dailies. Having said that, I do like to do the staged weekly on McKeb. It's a little bit of a grind, but sometimes I'll do the first part of it on one day and the second part of it on another day. I rarely combine the stage weeklies with other dailies. I mean, I know a lot of people have, you know, they get up in the morning, they go and they do all their dailies that they do. But I mean, I don't want it to be a job. So I don't want the game to feel like a task that has to be done. So I do not do that, because I figure if I'm going to do a task that has to be done, I might as well be doing the laundry or the dishes. So, and I don't want to do that. God knows. So that's my philosophy about dailies. Do them when you feel like it. Do the ones you like. Vary them. Don't do them if you don't feel like it, because then you'll be able to do, in the long run, more of them and be richer and have more comms. So the world of dailies, according to Seema.
I like it. I think that's a good strategy, a good plan. You, as we said, you will need to grind out some credits for some of this, but that's a good approach. And that's certainly the approach I take.
Yeah.
And often we were talking earlier and I said, well, one way to do it is first you get 1 million credits, then you never do dailies.
Right.
That's the max strategy.
We will talk about that strategy one day though, how to get that 1 million credits.
How to get 1 million credits and not pay taxes? Yes, yeah. We will talk about that. So yes, you will need some credits. You will do the dailies. You got your comms. We talked about the levels of comms gear, commendations. You will be driving towards getting into hard mode flashpoints. That's ultimately what your final step is, your penultimate step to getting to operations. If you get with a group, if you group up with some people, some guildies, especially guildies that already have established 55s and they're just running it for comms, that's a great group for them to get you into your first hard mode flashpoints with your new 55. You can be slightly undergeared and they can carry you. You go through quickly and they don't need the gear. So you'll get your dailies and your weeklies done for random flashpoints, and you'll get the basic comm gear that will drop off the bonus bosses in those hard mode flashpoints, and you'll be gearing yourself up really quickly. This is also something I did. I think I did one or two nights of hard modes for our hard mode flashpoint nights on my Marauder. I smuggled some gear. I did some hard mode flashpoints. I ran Oricon. I think that's all I did, and I was ready to run ops. So that's highly recommended as well.
Yeah.
Finally, we can touch on ways to round out your gear set. And as you're getting into hard modes, as you're getting into operations, these are some things you're going to want to look at that are going to help you fill in the gaps and bridge the stat differences between where your gear might be and where it really should be to start getting into operations. There's 3 things we'll talk about: are the data crowns, augments, and stims. Datacrons, take a look at. I think I've got a guide on the same site that our podcast is hosted on, but you can find guides elsewhere. Look for your main stat and find all of the Datacrons across the galaxy that boost your main stat and boost things like endurance. The big ones on Makeb and the plus 10 Datacron on your fleet are also pretty important and pretty impactful. Those do, the two on Makeb you can solo, the one, I think it's the endurance one, will potentially make you want to scratch your eyes out, but you can have fun with that one and you can solo it. It's slightly easier to do if you do it with a couple sages or sorks that have a rescue. So as you're falling, they can yank you back because you will fall off.
But they will
the plus too, 10. So. Yes. So if you can rescue each other and sort of rescue yourselves back and forth. If one person makes it, then the other person, if they fall, they can get pulled up or you can pull them up. That does help.
I had this picture of two sages both falling and they're just rescuing each other back and forth in air.
Rescuing each other back and forth. Or better yet, one starts to fall and rescues the other one off.
I like that.
If I'm falling, you're coming with me. I've had somebody do that to me before.
I don't know who that would have been, though.
right on. That was when we were making pancakes in Ilum.
Right, yeah. Oh, that was a while ago.
We were making designs with corpses on the ground. The plus 10 Datacron, as we like to say, it takes a village.
It does take a
full crew of people. It's on the fleet. There's basically a puzzle of a bunch of different places where you need to be using your MGGS and you have to have a couple crystals so that you can set up a whole bunch of people to be pressing. I think you need about 6 or 8 people. It's been a while since we did it. You might need a full 8. To press all the buttons and time all the buttons that you're pressing to open up the last
raise
button.
Raise the bridge and lower the bridge and
yada, yada, yada. But then everybody gets plus 10 Datacron. Keep an eye on your server. I keep swearing that AIE is going to have one of these nights. So we'll, maybe when Galactic Starfighter settles down, I'll organize one of these for Jedi Covenant. But I do see guilds on occasion doing nights where they'll sort of set it up for you. And for free, they'll, just to be friendly, they'll pull people up and get people their plus 10 Datacron.
And you're calling it the plus 10 Datacron, which is accurate, but I just want to say it's plus 10 to every stat. So it's a good one to get. Yep. And I just want to also add in here, too, that when you're out there getting Datacrons, you might as well pick up the presence ones, too, because the more presence you have, the better your companions operate, the easier it is to do those dailies if you're going to do them.
Mm-hmm.
So that brings us to augments. Really, it's super important to augment your gear. If you're a new 55, you really need to augment your the gear that's on the right side of your character pages. You look at it because that's your gear that you've chosen and that you like, and you're going to be wearing that for a while. Because every time you put an augment kit in a piece of gear, it's going to cost you 36,000 credits, and that kind of does add up. If you do all 14 slots, just adding the kits to your gear is 500,000 credits, not even buying the kits in the first place. However, since you're going to be replacing theoretically soon your earpiece, your implants, your relics, you don't need to put kits in those right away, but kit up whatever makes sense and then put those augments in there. And, I would say don't mess around with blue augments or lower level augments. Just go right for the artifact level MK9 augments if you're getting ready for ops. You'll need the credits that you're going to make from running those dailies and hard modes to get your gear augmented up. It's also makes it important to choose your gear that you're going to like the look of for a while, because once you put that investment in, because if you change your gear, you're going to need to put kits in it again. Augments you can always take out and put in a new piece, but the kits themselves, they're not reusable. You got anything else to add about augments, Max?
No, the only note that I had, I tried to do some math of current prices of MK9 augment kits and current prices, average price of augments. I tend to make a lot of augments, and the cost of augment kits plus the cost of slotting each of those kits into all 14 of your pieces and the average cost of putting an augment into each one of those slots of the level 55 artifact augments came out to about 2.8 million credits.
Yeah.
So do those dailies or find some other way to make credits.
What I tend to do when I create a character or when I decide I'm going to level a character is I put them in their outfit that I'm going to stay with at that point, and I put MK9 kits in their gear so that I know it's just I'm just tricking myself, but by the time I get them to 55, that part of the expense I've already done, plus I've been able to put augments in if I felt like it, and any augment would fit in those kits since they're the highest level kits. That's just how I do it.
Yep. But it is a huge amount of endurance and a huge amount typically of main stat. If you're a tank, it'll be a slightly different mix of augments that you're putting in. But you're getting a huge boost from augmenting all those slots. So if you're going to get into ops, you'll want to be augmented. For things like hard mode ops, it's required. Finally, last little tip to fill in some stats is stims. Check on the GTN or get a biochem or biochem alt or train up some biochem. Each of the blue level 52 prototype nano infused stims that you use lasts for 2 hours, persists through death, gives you 169.9 points of your main stat, typically is the one you'll use. And all the main stat DPS ones usually give you also 70 power. The fortitude one for tanks gives you 70 defense. That's a nice little boost also on the side.
Yeah.
So between those extras, datacrons, augments, and stims, you're putting a whole bunch of stats onto yourself that's not even accounted for in the level of gear you have. And it will definitely give you a pretty big boost. So I think that pretty much wraps it up. Get into some hard modes, get into some ops. As soon as you start getting that up to that basic comm level gear, you're ready for ops. You know, say you've got a good number of slots filled up with that. Get with your guild, get into some ops, pug some ops. You'll get some gear really quick that way too once you're ready to go.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to pug an ops, look for someone that's looking for 16 man story mode ops, because 16 man is a little bit more forgiving and you can run around and follow people and learn the fights a little bit better in 16 man than an 8 man.
Come with us on Wednesday nights when we run our stuff on Jedi Covenant. We're always happy to show people the ropes and teach people ops as well. So we're always looking for a couple people on Wednesday nights typically. This Wednesday we'll run Galactic Starfighter, but we're even going to go back and do some level 50 ops, I think, just for fun.
Or maybe try some stuff on the pub side.
Yes. Yes, we may go back. That's where we started. That's where our main op team started. And I miss my Vanguard. He is awesome. All right. Well, I think our EPC 15 droid here is filled up and we are ready to go. Thanks for listening. For comments or questions, we can be found on Twitter at MaxTheGray and at AIESema, or drop in on Jedi Covenant and ask us for an invite. Our character names are in the show notes. For AIE Guild information, you can visit aie-guild.org or find us on Facebook or Google+ at AIE SWOTOR. And we will talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.